A promotional fee has been paid by the sponsor of this program. For its editorial content, statements, views, and beliefs expressed by the sponsor do not reflect those of WOKV or Cox Media Group.
The following hour is brought to you by Madden Advisory Services.
Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of subjects discussed. Discussions and answers to questions do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but is limited to the dissemination of general information. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the options presented. Madden Advisory Services, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the SEC and only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempt from registration requirements.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, Smart Money on News 104.5 WOKV. Here are your hosts, Hank Madden, Michelle Barron, and Brian Hughes.
Welcome back, Smart Money listeners. You are listening to us live right here in Jacksonville, Florida on News 104.5 WOKV. We're hour two, where this entire hour is dedicated to you and your questions. I'm Michelle Barron.
And I'm Brian Hughes.
Ben Franklin once said, an investment in knowledge always pays the best interest. Now, Smart Money is here to lend our knowledge and answer your financial questions. So if you have a financial question, give us a call. Our lines are open. That's 340-1045. For our out-of-town listeners, that's area code 904-340-1045. Did you know Roth distributions are tax-free, but gains must meet the five-year holding requirement and occur after age 59 and a half? Another nice feature is that Roths do not require a required minimum distribution. No tax money to Uncle Sam when you withdraw, so the government's not so interested in forcing you to take it out.
Well, unfortunately, the government decided not to make some changes to the Roth rules like the GOP had proposed following Barack Obama's proposals that were almost exactly the same.
Very interesting.
I use the term GOP loosely.
All righty, let's get to Regina's call because I think she has a fabulous question.
It's a trick question.
It's not a trick question.
This is a trick question.
Regina, good morning. Welcome to Smart Money.
Good morning, Michelle. I want to take up on the caller who said that, you know, Social Security we don't need to rely on, and the incentives are there not to amass wealth in this country anymore, because the more you have, the more they take, you know, in terms of paying more for Medicare, paying more for getting less in Social Security, things like that. In that regard, either you or Brian think that there is you can work too long and have too many assets if you plan to live a very simple life in retirement. And I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Regina. Well, I will say this. You know, I don't disagree. I do think that there are ways that the government means test our income, and therefore they put taxes and penalties and things
like
that.
Well, it's like Social Security, you know, if you're making $30,000, you get a lot more return for your money than if you're making $150,000 for your Social Security because of the formula that they use to calculate your benefit.
Very true. Very true. So I do think that there are those kind of things in play.
She's right there.
She is right. I'm not disagreeing with her on that.
But she asked us a trick question because she called in asking two financial advisors, can you save too much money?
I mean,
that's a trick question.
I would say right off the top, a financial advisor should say no, right?
Right.
No, but there are some things that you can consider in that.
Okay, like what?
Oh, you're going to make me go first. I want to see your ammunition. I'm going to go with, I mean, I do think that there's right ways that you can save for retirement money. So, for example, I think for a long time the thought process has been, let's go ahead and put, you know, as much money as we can into traditional retirement accounts, and they continually do that. And some people are fabulous at it and have huge, huge retirement accounts when they retire. And once they hit that magic age of 70 and a half, we talked about a little early in the show, they have what's known as the required minimum distribution. And I have actually seen where people end up in a higher tax bracket in retirement because of the fact that they have these required minimum distributions than when they were actually working. So that thought process of that, hey, we're going to work hard and save hard and we're going to be in a lower tax bracket later in life, sometimes doesn't happen. So with that being said, you know, I think that, no, you still can't have too much in retirement, but I do think that there are ways that you can make sure that you are planning appropriately so that at least, you know, you're not being killed by some of those taxes or maybe necessarily the penalties imposed because you've done so well.
I mean, I think it depends on what your goals are, you know, because if you can set a budget, a retirement budget, and you can reasonably stick to it, and you give yourself a lot of wiggle room for things that you don't know are going to come up, that will come up, like medical expenses and, you know, hurricanes that may or may not be here, and, you know, different expenses that always get us that are just part of life. If you can, you know, set a plan where you're accounting for those, then you could get a reasonable number of how much you need to actually retire. But if you love your job, you could keep on saving. If you hate your job, there's no reason to keep on working if you have that amount of money that's going to be able to meet all your goals.
Well, the other thing that you could say is that you don't want to necessarily be in the position where you are so disciplined that you're not enjoying yourself. I mean, if you do all of those things that you're talking about, I mean, we all know that you can't honestly take that with you. You know, we never see the hearse pulling all of your assets behind you down to the grave. So you need to make sure that you're enjoying your assets.
Well, which is always the biggest challenge we have personally and when we're advising clients is how do you live for today, but plan for tomorrow. It's about striking the correct balance. And to figure out what that balance is, you have to understand and be able to define, I think, be able to define your goals and quantify your goals and then have a plan that hopefully allows you to do both.
Win-win.
Hopefully.
All righty. For those listeners out there, if you're a regular listener to WOKV, you probably were aware that yesterday WOKV sponsored the Child Cancer Carathon. Now, we've been co-sponsors with that along with a number of other people in our community for the last several years. They had a goal this year to raise over $250,000, and I understand that they have already exceeded that goal, $257,000. So that's pretty exciting. And all of those funds do go to help people in our area.
Which is just great. And the good thing about it is if you missed it, you can still get involved. And there's some pretty fun ways to get involved. If you go on the internet and just do a search for WOKV Carathon, you'll see that you can either donate now, but what I think is a fun way to do it is they're doing an online auction for different things and different experiences. And so just to give you some ideas, like you can, they have one called Kicking It with Josh, where the winner plus two guests gets to go do a foursome at Topgolf with Josh Scobie, the former Jaguar kicker, or you could be a meteorologist for the day with Mike Burrish. You know, they have some artwork that you can bid on, which I think is pretty cool.
So great auction still going on until Monday, and it supports a fabulous cause right here.
You get to go do something that's fun or get something that's neat and have your money go towards something that means something.
Absolutely wonderful. So don't forget our lines are open. If you have a financial question, give us a call. The number here is 340-1045. For our out-of-town listeners, that's area code 904-340-1045. And I know you've been eagerly waiting to talk about Trump in his recent tweets.
One of the terrible threes.
Yes.
Tweets, tariffs, and taxes. Or trade is the other one, right?
Trade.
Yeah.
Trade. And it's the things that have been driving the market a little bit crazy right now. But recently, we definitely have some tweets going on.
Well, Thursday and Friday about the Fed. Well, one was an interview. So Just a backstory, as most of you probably will know, the Fed has raised interest rates twice already this year. They did it in March and they did it in June. So the Fed interest rate now is between a target of 1.75% and 2%. And they have two more rate hikes penciled in this year. And it's those two more rate hikes that Trump isn't very happy about right now. And so they were doing an interview with Trump on CNBC, and he said he wasn't thrilled because, quote, because every time the economy strengthens, they want to raise rates again, he said. And then, you know, he took a little bit of a flack for that. And on Friday morning, he tweeted again, the United States should not be penalized because we're doing so well. Tightening now hurts all that we've done. The U.S. should be allowed to recapture what was lost due to illegal currency manipulation and bad trade deals, debt coming due, and we're rising rates? Really?
Yeah, but he hasn't always been singing that same tune.
No. Just before the election in CNBC, he said that Janet Yellen should be ashamed for her interest rate policy and how low interest rates are. And another tweet in 2011, Trump said Reckless monetary policy will cause problems in the year to come. The Fed has to be reined in or will soon be Greece, referring to the near zero rates that we had. So what are we supposed to make of this?
Well, I mean, Trump isn't always consistent. That's for certain. As far as do I necessarily agree, we did point out earlier in the show that it will become more expensive as we take on more debt. So we have the deficit because we're spending too much as a country. As we take on more debt, we have to pay more in order to pay that debt back. And so, you know, I don't disagree with his statement that it is going to cost us more. However, I don't know if I'm fully on board with the fact that we shouldn't be looking at rising interest rates. And the reason that I say that is because as I look at going forward, I believe that at some point in time we are going to, and I would argue and say that you can't, nobody's going to be able to tell me that we're not ever going to go into a recession
again. Well, we'll go into a recession. We just can't pick when.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
But when we get to that point, I want to have interest rates high enough that the Fed actually has some kind of stimulus to offer the economy. And they need to be able to drop down the rates. Now, just as we have been increasing rates 0.25%, not bringing a lot of, tailwinds, I would say, into the market, into consumers, it's not hurting us tremendously. If we could only go down 0.25% as an incentive during this time period when we're in recession, that's not going to help us come out of that recovery. So I do think we have to look at the fact that over time, before we get to that point, we need to raise rates.
And build on some of that ammo.
Yeah. So, I don't necessarily know. I completely agree. There has definitely been some talk that, you know, maybe Trump's going to pressure the Fed. How likely do you think that is?
I mean, I don't think there's a lot, honestly, that he can do about it. I think the Fed holds itself out as independent of politics, and it's structured that it's independent of politics. Trump can't just go at this point and say, Jay Powell, he's raising rates. I want to get rid of him and replace him with my own guy. Jay Powell was his appointment. The Fed chairmen have terms that are set in stone, and so they'll serve out their term. The president doesn't have the power to just get rid of someone. Now, what he does have the power to do is when there's vacant seats, he can appoint new people too.
Which there are.
There are seven, and six of them have already had appointments that are awaiting confirmation. One of them is yet to be appointed. So Trump can pick someone out that, you know, obviously wants to keep interest rates lower for longer, but that's one vote. I also think it's interesting when he was appointing Jay Powell, some of the other candidates for the Fed chairman, one of them that he was seriously considered is this guy Taylor, who created what's called the Taylor Rule, which dictates how he thinks the Fed should set the interest rate policies. And according to the Taylor Rule, interest rates should be well over 3% already. And so the other people that he was looking at would be a lot more aggressive than Jay Powell. I think Jay Powell is more of a slow and steady guy than what most of the other economists would suggest that we're at. 1.75% to 2% interest rates is still very low.
Oh, it's very, very low.
And I think the Fed has a dual mandate. They try to control unemployment and they try to control inflation. And I think if they don't keep raising interest rates, at some point we'll start to get runaway inflation.
That means that's your last thought.
Yeah. Well, until the next segment.
All righty. We do have to take a short time out, but keep in mind our lines are open. If you have a financial question, don't forget to give us a call. 340-1045. That's 904-340-1045. Did you know many workers are eligible to participate in defined contribution plans? You might be more familiar with them being called 401ks, 403bs, or 457 plans. So how are those taxed? You're going to have to stay tuned to find out. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Don't forget our phone lines are still open. If you have a financial question, help to make our show more interesting and give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. So call and call now. That's 340-1045. That's area code 904-340-1045. Did you know eligible workers can set aside a portion of their pre-tax money into a defined contribution plan? The assets are tax deferred until they are taken out. At that time, they are taxed as ordinary income, just so long as you are over 59 and a half. If not, you might be subject to the 10% penalty. Typically, these plans have similar rules to the traditional IRA. Some employers are now offering Roth versions of these plans, too.
It's a good tie into this next question.
Yeah, it is a good question. Adrian, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Welcome to Smart Money. So what kind of question do you want to ask us this morning?
Okay, the question is it right for an employer to make it mandatory to participate in a 401k?
So is it right, or are you asking can they?
Yes, can they.
So right now...
Is that happening to you?
Fixing to be, yeah.
So right now, I don't think that it's actually mandatory that they can make you participate in a 401k. What I think you might be referring to is the auto enrollment. And so a lot of employers are considering automatically enrolling their employees in having a certain amount withheld from their paychecks to put into their 401k. But it's my understanding at this point in time that you can choose to opt out.
Okay, well, the actual, what it is they give us, like, you know, $341 a pay period, and it's supposed to be, like, for insurance, this and that, no. So whatever we don't use for our insurance is supposed to go mandatory to it says mandatory on it, to a 401k.
So I don't necessarily know that then we're actually talking about the same thing, because you are receiving those benefits as part of some type of...
like a cafeteria plan, they
right,
call it.
Right, a cafeteria plan, some kind of benefit plan that your employer is offering you. You probably have some different choices as far as where you would like to see those dollars, but it sounds like their default option is to say, hey, if you're not going to use these items somewhere else, then we are going to mandatory put it into your 401k. I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing for you.
And from an employer perspective, they would want to do that as opposed to pay it to you, because then they have to pay the employment taxes. It's cheaper for them to do that.
So most likely you'll get additional benefits by them allowing you to receive benefits this way instead of giving you cash outright.
So I can understand needing the money, though. You know, a lot of time, if you know, you'd rather have that money, not saying this is what you should do, because I think money in a 401k should be for retirement. It should stay for retirement. But I do know people are in financial situations where sometimes you have to tap into your 401k, and there may be ways for once it to go into your 401k to get out, to get access to it, either through a hardship withdrawal or through a 401k loan.
Oh, okay. You know, I figured it out because my insurance will run about right about $100 pay period. So, that, you know, that leaves, you know, $241 that's, you know, going to 401k.
Yeah.
So, but before I was getting that in my paycheck, you know, so that's almost $500 a month that, you know, I was counting on before, since they're switching over.
Yeah. Well, we certainly appreciate you calling in this morning, Adrian. That is the sound that we have to go into break. Thanks for your call this morning. It is time for our information timeout, where we would bring you up-to-date Fox National News, local weather, and traffic patterns. But more importantly, the lines are open, so give us a call and call now, 340-1045. That's 904-340-1045. Did you know the number of traditional pension plans has dropped drastically over the past 30 years, with the highest percentage of pension coverage being in the public sector? So what do you need to know about pension plans? Stay tuned in to find out. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. I'm Michelle Barron.
And I'm Brian Hughes.
Our lines are still open, and we still have time to get your call in. So if you have a financial question, give us a call, 340-1045. That's 904-340-1045. Did you know traditional pension plans are normally based on factors such as salary history and duration of employment? Years ago, this was a very common form of benefit. However, today, most pension plans are offered for those working in the public sector. And even then, those plans are being eliminated. Income received from a pension plan is generally treated as ordinary income for taxation. You're not going to comment on anything?
What do you want me to say? Whoop-de-doo.
All righty. We can get to Joe. Good morning, Joe. Welcome to Smart Money.
Good morning. Thank you for your show. I'm just what you mentioned to your listeners about the pension. I'm one of those dinosaurs that have the pension.
You, one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, in a way, but I was not so lucky in my younger years saving like a lot of your listeners are probably doing now with their 401s, because I don't have that. I never did. So basically, I have a pension since I retired in 2005. Pension's around $50,000 a year, and I'm 61 years old right now. So I'm not planning on collecting Social Security till I'm 66 and a half. And they figured out on my Social Security to be somewhere around $2,400 a month, which probably will go up in another 5 years or so. But my question is this. I mean, that's all I have as far as income coming in. And I was wondering, is there anything I could do differently now before I'm 66 and a half that I could reduce my Social Security taxes?
Joe, are you you're not working right now, right?
I'm working my own private business. It doesn't generate that much income that it does generate. I use it for daily living and you know, household stuff.
Are you married?
I'm married. My wife is 7 years younger than me. She has a really good job. She has she started late like I did. So her 401 is about, she doesn't get a pension. She does have a 401, and it's about $100,000 in there. But she's, like I said, 53 years old, 54 years old, but she's not retiring anytime soon.
Right. And so when you retire, the money that you receive from Social Security and the money that you receive from a pension, and she would be working at least initially, do you think you'll need all that money that you receive?
We're counting on it. Yeah. We're counting on it. Yeah, that's going to be our main income, what we're living off of. And the other thing is, I didn't mention also, is that my home, because like I said, I kind of started late and everything. And our home that we had built here in 2005 will not be paid off for another 18 years. So we'll have a mortgage as well.
Okay. I mean, I think the big thing is if you're going to need the money, I don't think there's a lot that you're going to do to reduce your Social Security taxes. The ways that I can think of you reducing your taxes, your wife will still be working. She'll have a 401k. You can have her increase her contribution to the 401k. If you didn't need the money, you could do some things charitably that maybe get you some tax deductions. But if you're going to need the money, I mean, you're going to take the income. Unless Michelle has a brilliant idea.
Yeah, there's not a brilliant idea in that one. I mean, Brian's completely right. I don't think you have a lot of wiggle room for, you know, some magic planning in there.
Right. I figured that, but I just thought I'd ask. I didn't know if there was any tax shelters for that, because like I said, it is a public pension, and, you know, I'm paying taxes on that, and I know...
I mean, the way to do that is while your wife is still working, that you guys would max out her retirement plan and, you know, kind of do right pocket, left pocket. You take the income that you'd get from your pension plan, eventually Social Security, and use that for your expenses. But if you need that income plus your wife's income to maintain your expenses, then obviously that's not going to work out for you.
Right. Now, I appreciate that. I kind of had a feeling that that's what the answer was, but I just wanted to double check with you guys, see if I missed something. And I guess my last other question is that I do have a disabled child that's going to be living with us for the rest of our lives. And she doesn't turn 18 until, you know, for at least another 2 years. And then from what I understand, I think she's able to collect Social Security off of my Social Security rate, I think 50% of it, if I'm not mistaken. Does her Social Security is taxable? How does that work? Is her Social Security taxable? Is added to my income, or is that a separate thing?
You know, to be honest with you, Joe, I haven't worked with that particular situation. I'd feel a lot more comfortable if you talked with a CPA to get the exact regulations on that one.
Or give Social Security a call and go down and meet with them. Because the question that I would have was, what benefit would she actually be entitled to when she's over age 18?
Yeah. Her benefit is because she's disabled.
Well, I understand.
I know. He's saying how much. How much would she get?
It's going to be, right now, just on her record alone, Social Security is like $730 or something like that, $700-something. But off of my record, 50% of it, so it'll be around $1,100, $1,200, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I would either go down to Social Security, like Brian said, and see if they can help you out there, or talk with a CPA to find out exactly how that benefit would be taxed.
Right, okay.
Sorry we couldn't help on that one a little bit better.
Not a problem. I appreciate your call. I appreciate your show.
Thanks so much, Joe. Thanks for calling in, and you have a great day.
You too.
All righty. We got Robert on the line. Good morning, Robert. Welcome to Smart Money.
Well, thanks, Michelle. Good morning, Michelle and Brian. I have a question regarding the advisability of paying off our home out of our retirement money. Currently, we have a 15-year VA loan. And if we pay it off, I'm going to retire next year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're going to have about $550,000 retirement, plus I have a military pension, a government pension. We have our IRAs, and we have Social Security at that point. So I'm 65 right now.
All right. How much do you owe on your loan? How much is remaining?
About $100,000.
Okay. And do you know what the current interest rate is?
It's 2.25.
Wow.
Is that adjustable?
No, it's fixed. It's VA, 15-year VA loan.
That was like rock bottom. Right.
Yeah, that was perfect timing.
Exactly. Yep.
All
so
right.
Can you guess what our answer is going to be?
You're probably going to tell me to hang on to my money and don't pay it off because the interest rate is so low and I can make more if I just leave my money in mutual funds.
Robert, you want to come be a guest next week?
I got another point, though, Robert, because you did mention that you would be taking money from retirement plans. When you say retirement, does that mean taxable plans?
Well, It's about 50-50. The half of it would come from my wife's Roth, and the other half would come from my traditional.
Okay. So at that point, you would be putting another $50,000 on top of your taxable income. And with the taxable income that you were talking about, I'm guessing that's probably going to put you in a higher tax bracket. On top of the fact that, what you said, you definitely have the potential, as long as you are invested properly, to make more than the 2.25% that you're currently paying.
Okay.
Now, there's always emotional reasons to pay off a house and financial reasons. So, like we're saying, financially, I don't think you should pay off the house with retirement money. I think that would be a bad decision. I think maybe if you had non-retirement money, like your wife's Roth is a little bit better than taking it from a straight IRA. I understand the draw emotionally with not having that payment in retirement, but at the same time, you can use your retirement accounts to create an income stream to you and just pay it off over time and keep yourself in a lower tax bracket potentially over time and still hopefully earn more than the 2.25%. And if you're saying you're in like an 8% interest rate, I think we might be having a different conversation, but that is you could go get a CD and earn that right now.
Right. Even if it increases my cash flow by $26,000 a year.
Are you short $26,000 a year to pay for it?
It would help. I mean, I did the math, and by not having a house payment, we would gain $26,000 a year less that we would have to be paying out each year.
But again, you could take that stream of income from your retirement sources at a lower rate, especially if you split it between the Roth or did some kind of conversion between the Roth and the traditional, and still keep you in a lower tax bracket.
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't really consider that aspect.
And then, again, the other part is, let's say you even average 6 or 7% a year, you're still coming out ahead over time. I mean, there's going to be some years where you earn a lot more than that and some years where you probably even lose money. But I think over time, you still make more because of how low your interest rate is.
Yeah. I mean, you hit that at absolute rock bottom, I believe.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, thank you very much for your advice, and I'll proceed accordingly.
All righty, Robert. Thanks for your call this morning.
Great question.
Oops, sorry. I cut him off right there at the very end. I'm a little trigger happy over here. All righty. We have Bill on the line. Good morning, Bill. Welcome to Smart Money.
Thank you. Great show, by the way.
Well, thank you. How can we help you this morning?
I just have a quick question. I have a thrift savings plan. I put in 10% of my pay, and I guess I should pay more attention to it, but I've got the L fund. I'm down to about 6 more years till I retire again. And I probably have, I don't know, about 200,000 of this thing. And I'm just curious, is ELF fund really the best course for me? I just want to make sure I get, the most out of my buck, especially since I'm kind of getting close to hanging it up for good here another 6 years.
Well, just to first start off, for people listening, the ELF fund is what is called a life cycle fund or a target date fund. And so what they do is you pick a year around when you think you're going to retire. And the idea is, as you get closer and closer to that year, the fund becomes more and more conservative. So it's a hands-off, easy way to invest where you don't have to make a bunch of allocation changes over time.
Right. Okay.
So, I know you know that. And I know Michelle knows that.
we're just sharing some knowledge.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's been pretty worry-free. I just, like I said, I'm getting to the point where I'm thinking, well, 6 years, it's going to go pretty fast. I'm already retired once, almost 14 years ago. So I'm kind of wrapping it up, but I just want to make sure I'm making the smart moves when it comes to this thrift savings plan.
The way that I feel about target date funds, because you have the option as far as what target date to pick. What I perceive as the mistake that people make with target date funds is they pick the day that they're going to retire. And which is naturally what you would think you would do. But the issue, I think, then is the accounts become more and more conservative and they end up getting a little bit too conservative compared to what you should be. Because in my mind, it's not like the day that you retire is the day that you're pulling all the money out and it's the day that you're using the money. You're not.
Right.
Your time frame is over the course of your lifetime, not the day that you retire. And so I think there's a danger of that. But I do appreciate the target date funds for what they do, which is like what you said, very easy hands-off way of investing. I would just take question and take care with the actual target date one that you select.
Okay.
And just so you know, if you truly are in, I do believe that TSP has one that is particularly the L, and then I think they also have those life cycle funds that have the years that Brian would mentioned, but the L fund is the most conservative, so I think Brian's point is right on.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you so much, and again, great show, and I look forward to listening as much as I can.
All right. Thanks for your call, Bill. Alrighty, that's our timeout music again. So before we go, did you know with the monthly Social Security average at $1,360, it's no surprise to learn that 68% of workers thought they would continue working during retirement. But how likely is that to happen? You're going to have to stick around to find out. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Did you know, with 68% of workers stating that they thought that they would continue working in order to enhance their retirement income, it's surprising then that only 26% of retirees actually report that they do just that. Health, family situations, and even the economy can impact your ability to actually work, which ties into our last call right here. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you for calling into Smart Money this morning.
Well, I hope you can answer my question.
I'm pretty confident that we can. So tell us what your question is.
Okay. I am 67, and I currently am drawing Social Security. And I am planning on going back to work part-time. And I'm wondering how that part-time job is going to affect the current Social Security that I draw.
So we have good news for you, Rhonda. Once you hit what's called full retirement age, you can go back to work and make as much as you want without having those penalties to your Social Security income.
Okay. Now, how is that going to affect income tax? I still have to pay income tax, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
So your taxes may go up, but they won't reduce your benefit. Your taxation on your benefits may go up, though.
Oh, okay. And then that won't affect my Medicare drama either, right?
You know, Medicare premiums are tiered based on how much income that you make. And so potentially, depending on how much you make from part-time working, they could tier you up and you have to pay a little bit more in your Medicare premium as well.
Okay. But as far as my Social Security monthly income, it won't affect that at all.
Right.
No, it won't affect that.
Unless they increase your Medicare and then drop your Social Security payment. But, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your comment.
Thanks for calling in, Rhonda.
Thanks for calling in.
Enjoy the rest of your 3 minutes of morning time.
That show went by fast today, didn't it?
It did.
And I think that it's pretty neat that some of those callers tied right into the did you know that I had.
You're proud of yourself.
I am.
You should be.
I love when that happens. It's like, this is perfect timing. It just flows right in. So a big thank you for all of our listeners today who tuned in, all of the callers who called in and participated in our show. We had some really great questions. So thank you for helping us to make our show a success. Don't forget to join us every Saturday morning. We are on the air from 10 to noon right here on News 104.5 WOKV. If no one tells you that they care about you, know that Brian and I care, and Hank. I can't forget about Hank, even though he's at home recovering from cataract surgery.
And can't see you.
And can see you. He still cares. As always, for all of our men and women in uniform, past, present, and future, thank you for your hard work and your dedication to our country. Your sacrifices are appreciated. And remember, while making money can give you a sense of achievement, only making a difference will give you a sense of fulfillment. So get out there, support your beliefs, your community, and your country. God bless you, God bless your family, and we'll be here next week.